Ready to break free from algorithms, vanity PR, and money-sucking ads? My name's Larissa Wurstiek, and I've learned in 7 years of jewelry marketing that content is the crown jewel. My agency, Joy Joya, takes a holistic approach, leading with laser-focused storytelling, impactful content creation, and strategic content distribution. This method has worked for the solopreneur as well as the multi-million dollar company. And now I'm sharing these same systems and tactics with you. Here's to standing out in the sea of sparkle. Welcome to episode 282. Today, I want to chat about finding an audience for your fine jewelry, especially if you sell at more aspirational luxury price points. This episode was actually inspired by some content I've been watching on TikTok, and it really got me thinking about the target audience for high-end accessories. The first post I saw was from a TikTok user named Level Blue, and this person self-proclaimed teaches ladies how to be elegant. Again, that's her own words. And one of the posts that I watched, I wasn't seeking this out, by the way. It came up in my feed. It was called Three Luxury Things Elegant Ladies Never Buy. And number two of those three luxury things was very branded jewelry. Now, I won't name any brand names, but I think you probably know what I mean. That fine jewelry that features very obviously branded motifs or details that can be connected to the luxury brands that make them. And according to this TikToker, elegant, I'm putting that in quotes, her words, not mine, elegant ladies don't buy this type of jewelry because it's so overly faked. Like, there are so many replicas of it that, and so saturated in the marketplace, even on the luxury level, this person thinks that wearing that kind of jewelry is tacky, because if someone sees you wearing it, unless you're an expert or you're looking at it really closely, how are you to know if it's real or fake? So elegant ladies only wear unique jewelry that you won't find copied or on a lot of other people. And then the other TikToks that have been inspiring me is the account called Class of Palm Beach. And the content creator behind this account basically goes on the streets of Palm Beach, Florida, to ask people about their outfits. And of course, I'm always interested to hear about the jewelry. Most of the time, with most of the people that this person interviews, it's just stacks on stacks of Cartier love bracelets or lots of Tiffany, which, don't get me wrong, is nice if you love those things. But every once in a while, the content creator interviews someone who looks different, has like a unique perspective on style. And one recent TikTok showed a woman wearing a whole bunch of necklace layers, and many of them were from Foundry. And in the comments, so many people were asking, whoa, I love that jewelry. What was that brand again? Like, can you tag them here? So unique, so different from like the usual Cartier, Tiffany, Van Cleef, etc. And so where I'm going with this is, there are two types of high-end buyers, really, when it comes down to it. There are the ones who really like the brand names. Like that TikToker said, those aren't the elegant ladies. Again, that's not my judgment. Don't call me out. And those people like the recognition of wearing something that looks expensive. Like, they have earned the privilege to buy those brands, and they're going to show off that they can do it. But if you're listening to this podcast and your business isn't named Cartier, Tiffany, Van Cleef, or similar, then you will likely never cater to this customer because their money is going to be spent elsewhere. You don't have those literal centuries under your belt building a brand name. So then what is left for you? You're catering to the people that Level Blue is catering to with her Elegant Ladies TikTok. These are the customers who see themselves as unique, as individuals, as different. They want to look elegant and expensive and high end without looking like they're wearing something that can easily be copied. And speaking to that customer who does want something different and something that's going to make them feel special and unique is going to mean having a clear story, voice, and personality in your brand so that you can reach those customers who will feel proud to be wearing something by you. So in this episode, I want to chat with you about exactly how you can do that and reach that customer. But before we get to the solid gold, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this podcast has both audio and video, so you can either listen on your favorite podcast platform or watch on YouTube by searching Joy Joya. You can support the podcast for free by taking the time not only to subscribe, but also to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Okay, let's get into today's episode, my sparklers. Again, if you sell fine jewelry and your brand isn't named Cartier, Tiffany, Van Cleef, insert heritage brand here, then this episode is for you. In the realm of luxury jewelry, we talked about in the intro, these two distinct consumer archetypes. There are the brand loyalists, and there are the seekers of uniqueness. Those brand loyalists are the ones who gravitate toward cachet, recognition of established luxury names. They find their value in heritage and prestige. And then on the other hand, there's the seekers of uniqueness. And these people shy away from those overt symbols of brand identity, and they instead favor pieces that communicate a distinct sense of style and individuality. And those customers are drawn to the jewelry that speaks to their personal narrative and aesthetic. So they are looking for things like craftsmanship, uniqueness. They don't care about widespread recognition. In fact, they may be actively trying to have something that no one else has. And if you're that fine jewelry brand looking to carve out a niche in the competitive luxury market, then it's this latter group of customers that gives endless opportunities for growth. Those are the people that you want to be going for. And by focusing on this audience, you as a brand can really differentiate yourself through your unique designs, your compelling narratives, and that emphasis on personal expression. And that way you can appeal to those who want to stand out rather than be part of like the more branded crowd, the people who appreciate those heritage brands. So how exactly can you do those things? I know you're wondering. Well, let me tell you. First and foremost, you need to understand your audience. No one's surprised that I'm giving this tip. This is a tip that I give for everything. This is always the place to start. And so you'll want to define that ideal customer profile. And surprise, surprise, that's not the person who wears luxury logos loud and proud. It's someone who values uniqueness and elegance. Now, I know what you're going to say. There are some people out there with really eclectic taste, like maybe they would wear a vintage Chanel coat, but yet they also gravitate toward like the lesser known jewelry brands, and they're mixing maybe high and low. They're mixing vintage and new. So there are definitely those like eclectic, quirky customers, and it will be up to you to decide if that is your customer profile. But that's going to be different and unique to each business. Overall, though, what all these people will have in common is that they will value uniqueness and elegance. And what are typically the characteristics that set this person apart? They often have a refined taste for design. They appreciate craftsmanship, as I said earlier. They seek pieces that will not only adorn and decorate them, but it also, the pieces allow them to express their personality and values. They tend to be really well-informed customers, and not just about the latest trends, but they know a thing or two about jewelry as well. And so they place a premium on things like authentic brand storytelling, the quality of the goods, the actual materials being used, or if like sustainability and ethical sourcing is important to them, they will likely know a lot about that. And you have to like meet them where they are in their knowledge. These people value exclusivity. They don't want things that are mass produced. They want things that are either bespoke, limited in availability. And that means that whatever they're wearing can't be copied or replicated many times over. They may be socially conscious. This won't be true for everyone, but again, maybe they have ethical, thoughtful, intentional practices in their purchases. And they're likely to be confident, self-assured individuals, and they see their jewelry as an extension of themselves, not just as a status symbol, but they are wearing jewelry to express themselves and to be creative in the way they showcase their identity to the world. So think about all of that. Then you want to consider your brand story. You need to be developing a compelling narrative and creating those emotional connections. So crafting a brand narrative that really resonates with this customer that we're talking about, this person who values uniqueness and elegance, you're going to have to be really thoughtful in your approach. You're going to have to intertwine your brand story with the aspirations and ideals of the target audience. So these are some tips to do that. Emphasize the artisanal nature, the craftsmanship, the meticulous attention to detail, the quality of the materials, the skill of the people who made the items, if it's not you personally, and you're going to be wanting to share stories of how the pieces are made. This is an opportunity for that behind the scenes content to really come through. Since you don't have a built-in brand heritage, like let's say Tiffany, which has been around forever, and they have that history that you're not going to have if you're not Tiffany or Cartier, you almost have to create it from scratch, like a mythology around your brand. This is not a lie. I'm not telling you to lie. But I think even if your brand isn't centuries old, you can build like this origin story around it. What are the inspirations? What has the journey been to the current state of the brand? And make stories, again, not lying, not making things up, but being a storyteller. Speak to your founding principles, the challenges that you've overcome, the milestones that you've achieved. This builds an emotional connection and gives your brand a memorable identity, even though you don't have hundreds of years under your belt. Consider the visual aspect of your storytelling. So you need high quality photography, videos, capture the essence of your brand and products, and then use these visuals to support you in your storytelling. The storytelling will really come to life if you're thoughtful about the accompanying media, the images, the videos, everything that supports the narrative. And then connect also to larger lifestyle themes. So for this target audience, the target customer, the things that matter to them. I imagine this person probably loves travel. Or if they don't travel, they love fine food, or they have an appreciation for art or culture. Again, that's going to depend on your individual target audience. But if you can kind of connect your brand story to the lifestyle themes that those people already love and can relate to, and you can draw customers in that way, showing your jewelry not just as an accessory, which basically is a throwaway thing, can be replaced when a new season or trend comes, but instead your jewelry as an expression of their personal values and experiences, that's a future heirloom in the making. And when you've really figured out your target customer, you have your brand story nailed down, the next thing you'll want to think about is the marketing strategies. So how can you utilize social media effectively? You'll want to engage with your audience in ways that take this storytelling that you've put so much thought and effort into and like distribute that, give it a megaphone, shout it out loud to the world. So using Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok, whatever platforms you're using, and showing all of these things in action, the creation process, the behind the scenes, selecting the materials, the details of your jewelry, the manufacturing process or the handcrafting process, the artisanal aspect, you, the transparency of you as the maker, the designer, or the owner of the business. I think this is an opportunity where going live can be so valuable because you can really then discuss in real time your inspirations, answer questions that people have about the brand. And that helps make your brand feel more relatable and builds a sense of community. And those are the kind of steps, the proactive steps you have to take to make up for the fact that you are not Tiffany with 100 plus, I don't even know how many year heritage. You don't have that. So you have to make up for it somehow by putting yourself out there in these ways. If you're able to, utilize user-generated content. So encourage your customers to share photos of themselves wearing pieces. Share that content. Express your admiration for how they wear your jewelry. Celebrate the way that they express their individuality through wearing your jewelry. I think all of that is so special. And then when it comes to email marketing, everything needs to feel personalized and high touch. So you'll want to tailor your messages based on customer interests and past purchases. So for example, if someone has purchased an engagement ring in the past, they might be interested in a wedding band, anniversary pieces. If someone liked a specific collection, they will probably want to be notified about new products that are added to that collection. Use email to make those subscribers feel special, giving them first access to new collections, limited editions, special discounts. That makes the subscribers feel valued. Also, don't use email just as a sales-focused platform. It should be a place where you also share educational content. So you want to include content that adds value beyond just selling products, like the lore of your brand, the stories behind the products. Educate about certain gems, about gold, other metals. Give styling tips and advice. Build that trust with your audience. And then personalize recommendations here based on like browsing history and behavior, based on past purchase history, etc. And you can also do all of these same things on your website and distribute that material. So consider blog posts, not just blog posts that are like how to layer a necklace, which is fine, but it's fine if you could add depth to it. So how does XYZ brand approach layering necklaces? What's unique about that approach and how is it different? I want you to take those basic ideas, you know what I'm talking about, super basic. You've seen it 100 times, how to stack rings. Okay, who cares? What are you going to bring to the table with the perspective that you have as a professional in the jewelry industry with a creative perspective? You should be bringing something new to the table and add depth and that extra layer of what does my brand have to say about this to everything that you put out on your website, including in your product descriptions and every single piece of copy on your website. If it feels generic, it is not good enough for this customer that wants something special and unique. And this last tip I want to share extends a little bit beyond marketing, but it does have to do with the marketing experience is everything you do, every piece of marketing communications, every touch point, the ultimate goal has to be to build customer relationships. That means every interaction that someone has with you, even if they have not purchased yet, They need to feel like they are treated exceptionally and like they're special, valued, seen. And you want to try to personalize that customer experience so that you can build loyalty. You can get word of mouth referrals and strive to just create a sense of community among your customers. That could be through events, as I said, through exclusive previews. The sky's the limit. Get creative with it. And make sure you're always leveraging customer feedback so that you can continuously make improvements and share customer stories in your marketing, because that will build the most trust among people who are discovering you for the first time and maybe thinking about buying, but they're not yet sure. So what do you think about everything I said today? I feel like I was intense, more intense than usual. I don't know. I'm really passionate about this, and I want you to, despite all the limited time we have, all the limited resources we have, how hard it is to like make change and implement things. Even if you take 1/100th of what I said today and try it out, I would love to see that. Not because I told you so and I told you to do it, but because I think so many people out there are doing the status quo, and that's not the way to find new opportunities for growth. And so challenging yourself and trying something new, even if it doesn't work out, that's how you're going to keep pushing yourself forward in your business and eventually finding success and meeting your goals. Let's get into the gold mine. This is a segment of the podcast where I get personal and share insights on entrepreneurship, mindset, success, growth, and all things business. And in this week's gold mine, I want to talk about this mindset shift away from something I notice with solopreneurs that I work with, or with people that have very small teams. There's this really common, like, last minute do it all approach. And what I mean by that is like, you're just tackling things as they come to you because you're so overloaded. There's so much to deal with. That's the most you can handle at any given time. It's so hard to get ahead of it, to think forward, to think in the future, because you're just dealing with things as they come. And I see why this mindset exists. I see the appeal of it. If you're a solopreneur and you're like, yeah, I'm kind of guilty of that. No judgment. I get it. You primarily answer to yourself. You bear the sole responsibility of your actions or your inactions. And if a task goes undone, you alone are the primary person affected. And unless there's some kind of consequences for your customers, but usually that wouldn't be the case. And so you're probably wondering, well, why should I even bother changing this mindset? It's working for me. I just take things as they come. I'll give you some reasons why it's important to try to be more ahead of things when it comes to planning, especially for your marketing, like looking 1 to 2 to 3 steps ahead instead of handling things day of. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I do have a lot of people who ask me, how am I supposed to keep up with my marketing? Like, I know I'm supposed to do this thing this week and it's just coming and it's happening. And oh, I missed it. Because it was something that you would have had to respond to in the moment. And I know it's possible because as a marketer for my clients, we have to get ahead of things. I understand I am not the sole business owner and I'm not dealing with like production, making XYZ. But the only way we could actually function and help our clients get results would have to be to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps behind things and see ahead to what we would need. And I want to share with you, if that seems not doable, it all comes down to planning. It all comes down to knowing the plan for marketing 1 month, 2 months, 3 months out, as far out as you can go. And instead of looking at just this week, to even just take 10 minutes of one day of a week to look 2 weeks ahead, 3 weeks ahead, just to look, you don't even have to do anything, but say, oh yeah, about a month from now, it's Mother's Day. Okay, let me like plant that seed in my head while I'm going about my day. Think about what I want to do for Mother's Day. Do I have any ideas for pictures? Instead of it being like the week before Mother's Day and scrambling and feeling like it's not doable or you've lost creativity. Oh, like, oh yeah, I kind of wanted to do that thing, but now it's too late. So just planting the seed. That's all I'm asking. The seed. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a marketing agency. You're just putting a seed in your head. And why do you want to do this? There's so many reasons. One, scalability. If you do want to grow, if that's a dream of yours, if you want to make more money, eventually have one employee, two employees, whatever you want, this will be an essential step to getting you having systems, to getting you having processes. That allows for consistent results. And honestly, even though it seems harder to think ahead, it makes things easier, truly. But it's the habit of getting to think ahead to make things easier for you in the future. You'll be way more efficient and productive, as I said, if you can think ahead. So you're not scrambling the week before Mother's Day to figure out, oh, what's the promotion going to be? What pictures do I need? Thinking about it a month ahead. Oh, I have an extra 5 minutes today. Let me like shoot some pictures that I think would be really good for a Mother's Day campaign. It's more relaxed. You can kind of store ideas and thoughts for the future, have them in place. And I promise you, when you get to Mother's Day, future you will thank past you for having done that. It's such a satisfying feeling to know that you like planted that seed for yourself. Along those same lines, it will help you reduce stress because as a solopreneur, you're dealing with every function in your business. I don't want marketing to be harder for you. I don't want marketing to feel stressful. So looking ahead, even a little bit, being aware of what's coming, not being surprised by it. No one likes a marketing surprise, except maybe your customer, if it's a good surprise for them. But as the business owner, you don't want a marketing surprise. You'll be able to make better decisions. So you'll be able to set goals, do a little research here and there, make some predictions. That provides a really clear picture of like what's available to you. And then every decision you make is aligned with your vision rather than just like throwing darts at the wall. And most importantly, and I know you guys will all like this, you will have more time to be creative. I know you like that. You'll have more time to be innovative because when you're not constantly in reactive mode, you have more time to play. That's what I like most about marketing. When I can get my clients on the same page about thinking ahead, that opens up so many possibilities for us. That's when the play, the fun comes into the marketing because we have more time to think of exciting, interesting things to do. If everything's last minute, it's just going to be the status quo. I mean, it'll be fine, but it won't be as interesting as if we can get ahead of it. So moving away from this solopreneur mindset that relies heavily on doing things last minute to instead one that embraces planning and processes can make you more efficient, help you scale in the future if that's what you want, make you more successful, and best of all, make things more creative and fun. So I want you to set up a foundation that not only supports your current operations, but paves the way for future growth and opportunities. So what do you think about that? Do you have this last minute mindset Drop me a message on Instagram DM, leave a review on the podcast, or comment on the YouTube channel. Did you have any questions about today's episode? You can always email me, Larissa, that's LARYSSA at joyjoya.com. If you love this podcast, please share with a friend who'd appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe as well as leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're completely new to digital marketing, then you'll want to purchase and read a copy of my book, Jewelry Marketing Joy. Visit joyjoya.com/book for more information.